back at 7:33, back to the Newsmaker line right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. Delia DeRigui-Witten is the legislator in Nassau County representing District number 11. And nice enough to join us for a couple of minutes this morning. Good morning, Madam Legislator. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am doing well. I haven't spoken to you in a while. Let's do a little catch-up, but certainly some goings-on within the confines. And I believe yesterday, with a vote unanimously now, the legislature to give the county, Delia, authority to borrow more than $400 million. I guess, what is it, a construction of a system diverting sewage from the Bay Park Sewage Treatment Plant? Is that what it's all about?
It is. But there was a reason that we had to do the whole amount. We're going to be getting a good amount of that money through grants from the state. And there was a deadline of September 15th. So we are going to be bonding the full amount, but we anticipate getting at least 30%, to maybe closer to 45, 50%, hopefully, if everything works out, back from the state. And it's really a very necessary project, in my opinion. It's basically going to be running a pipe to stop what's happening on the South Shore, which is Reynolds Channel is just getting so much affluent, you know, sewage water put into it. And it's treated water, but it's still pretty terrible, not only for the residents around there. The smell locally is really terrible, especially on hot days. But it's also just not the cleanest. You know, it's basically putting a lot of nitrogen and everything else in our water. So I really think it's a great idea. We're going to run a pipe that's going to go under a lot of the South Shore, which is going to be a bit of an inconvenience for some people down there. I know that's a major concern that we all have. It's a temporary inconvenience rather than the pipe, but we have agreements to make sure that everything is put back together. You know, it's even going to affect Sunrise Highway a bit, but, you know, it's going to be done as quickly as possible, and we'll make sure that whatever is disrupted by this will be put back in place as soon as possible. And it's going to bring the pipe down to the other sewage treatment plant where I believe they can treat it much better. And, you know, one of the other legislators from the area, Debbie Millay, really feels that this is probably one of the best projects that, as a legislature, we're going to accomplish. So it's good for the environment, and it's good for the quality of life for that area.
Yeah, something had to be, it had to be done. I know it was announced, it was a couple of years ago, right, by the governor, you know, to eliminate the discharge of this treated wastewater, as you mentioned, into Reynolds channel there by diverting it to the Cedar Creek outfall pipe. And, you know, think about it, ladies and gentlemen, it's roughly, I think it's 3 miles off the coast of Jones Beach, if I'm not mistaken. So a very important aspect right there.
The whole area is so vulnerable, as we saw in Sandy. You know, we really, having it more contained and put in this pipe, that the Cedar Creek, from what I'm told, the sewage treatment plant can handle it much, much better. It's much more up to date. So, you know, God forbid we get hit with another storm, we won't have, you know, as much damage either, hopefully. So that's our hope. You know, the water will, it's really, it's treated water, but it is, it's better to go through this pipe and then go to the sewage treatment plant. And, you know, they have a very good rate of treating the water at that one. So I think it's, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons why we did it. And a big reason is because of the vulnerability of the South Shore during storms. So.
No question. So, very important. Very important
I don't
to aspect.
To borrow money, but I think it was a good reason to borrow money. And again, we're really hoping that the governor really put a emphasis on this, and you know, we know we're going to get around at least a third, but there's a number of other grants that DPW is still working on that we're going to follow up with, so we'll get as much of the money back as possible.
Talk about water quality and everything else and connecting here. You're talking about revitalization of the marshlands, protecting some of these coastal areas from future storms. This thing has to be put in play. Delia DeRigui-Witten with us. Delia, let's talk about another happening. I know that you and others, well, I guess at least on the vote, preliminary approval, to an assessment bill of rights. You know, it's about, I guess, imposing restrictions on the authority of the county executive and her assessment department there. I know this has been a back and forth type deal. And listen, it's a very contentious category right now in Nassau. We've had her on many a time. You know, we've spoken about assessment. It's been a prime time topic. Something I at least felt that had to be done here because it was completely mismanaged under the previous administration. But in essence, you know, you have guys like Rich Nicolello and others, you know, who say, you know what, you can't go about it certain ways here. Give me your take and everything and give me your take on this so-called assessment bill of rights.
You know, I first of all thought that we needed to do a reassessment, and I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of a reassessment. We kind of got more of a reevaluation, which goes more neighborhood by neighborhood. But regardless, I definitely agree with you that it was neglected for 8 years. It was, the role was frozen, which is, I can get into, but it was take a lot of time. So it absolutely had to be addressed, and I'm 100% behind it. I was the only Democrat that voted to hire the firm that did the role. But I think, and there's been a couple times that I actually agreed with the majority of the Republicans on a couple of other pieces of legislation, which involved showing the formulas that were used to get to the values of the homes, because I do believe that everything should be transparent. So what happened last night, I think, was sort of, you know, we're in that silly season with the elections coming up, and a number of the items, I guess you could say, as you said, restrict her, but what we're trying to do is only do things that would improve the transparency and the service to our constituents. So there were five items. One, the majority said, oh, if you call the assessment office, they're going to come in and, you know, we tried to, it was almost like a fear-mongering approach where they said, oh, they'll come in and they'll come in your house and they'll do. No one from the assessment office comes into your house unless you invite them in, unless you call them. They need permission. It's like, I think it's the Fourth Amendment. You know, no one can barge into your home. And I don't know, the way they kind of showed that last night, I felt was a turn off because it really was, I think, a fear mongering attempt. The other, they have, one is that the assessors should live in Nassau County. I don't really think that we should block either Laura Kern or any other county executive as to who they can choose to be the assessor. I think it's more important that the assessor have the credentials than that they live in Nassau County. And we don't require any other department head to live in Nassau County. One was a letter which would show the true change in your assessment, which I'm all in favor of. I really like the whole transparency. But the problem is they want the letter sent out by October 15th, and we won't even have the information on the tax levies and things like that until some of them will be available for the end of October and others won't be available till like January 1st. So their attempt to get this letter out before the election, in my opinion, you know, is a total waste because we don't have the accurate information yet. So to send out a letter to every household would be something like, I think it was $230,000, like almost a quarter of $1 million. So before we spend the money on that, I don't want to just send out some outdated, obsolete, you know, incorrect information. We're going to, if we do send a letter, it'll be when we have the correct information and everything is all set, which won't be till January. They want to do a piece of legislation that it basically requires the assessment office to answer the phone. Now, I think that's a great idea that they should answer the phone, but I don't even know if that's a proper piece of legislation, honestly, but what we did do is we transferred money into that line to hire people, so we are hiring more people, and we asked for like a cost analysis of what exactly they want to impose on that one, so we're waiting to hear back from that. And what was the other one? I think, I can't remember. Is that pretty much all of them? I think that's pretty much all of them. I might be missing one. But
requiring the assessor to live in Nassau, you know, who cares? Like you said,
right.
if that individual has the credentials, I don't care if he lives in New Zealand, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
Let him be properly coordinated with the goings-on within and let him assess properly. You know, quite frankly, the one I do agree as far as Republicans, you know, listen, I know there's staffing issues all over the place. I don't like the fact when you have an issue, if a resident needs to have a question answered, you don't want that thing to go to voicemail. I do agree with Nicolello regarding making sure that you have a live person there. You know, listen, there's going to be a ton of questions. There are a ton of questions. But you have to have somebody, you have to have somebody in place who can answer a question for somebody here. Can't have a voicemail.
Well, they do. I mean, they do answer the phone on occasion. And I agree with you. The number one complaint I got is that people didn't get, you know, calls back. So how do you fix it? You know, like us legislating it, okay. You know, we abstained, which means that we might vote for that. And I agree with you that I would like to see that put in place. But we have to do it. We have to find out what they really need to accomplish that. And I think the real answer is that they're understaffed. The Mingetta administration completely ignored and neglected the whole assessment, you know, department. They're down to like a skeleton crew, and we've been trying to, hire people. In fact, if anyone's looking for a job, they should apply for an assessment job. But it does take a little time to train people, but we're still hiring, and we did transfer more money over to hire more. We have to build up this department again, because, you know, he just closed the role for 8 years, so, and let everybody go, but we'll never replace people that retired. So these people are working hard. I have to tell you, our assessment department's getting a bad rap. I really think that they're working hard. They're just completely understaffed and possibly undertrained, which is what we're looking at. And we're also looking into, you know, I'm not totally against this. If they have some kind of program that would help with the phone calls, then we'll do it. But last night, I really thought that a lot of their Bill of Rights was kind of premature and kind of, there was a lot there that really needed to be looked into before you could vote on it. So, so if they have an idea, if the Republicans have an idea, or if anyone has an idea as to how to improve the service to our residents, we're 1,000% behind that. I'm sure Laura would support that too, but it has to be real and it can't just be, oh, us ordering them to answer the phone. Well, that's great, but what if, you know, if they're understaffed and they can't, then how do, you know, how does that help?
You have to put more staffing in place. You must. Now, absolutely. One thing here, I know that the county exec has urged Republicans to immediately pass the bill. I guess it would phase in the impact of reassessment on the tax burden over a 5-year period. Where are we at with that whole deal? I mean, is that going to come to fruition, do you think? Are Republicans, Republicans really have no other way. I mean, to me, you know, you're phasing in. It's a 5-year situation. What would be the harm in that if you're a Republican leader here? I mean, I can't understand the obstacle in the way.
I honestly think, and, you know, I've been around for a little while, but I think that right now, unfortunately, the only person that can put a piece of legislation up is Richard Nicolello, the presiding officer. He has that power. No one else does. Laura is banking on it. And, you know, sometimes it's not your ideal situation as a county executive to depend on, you know, someone to have to call this that maybe doesn't have your best intentions in mind. So I think he's going to hold off on it as long as possible because he's kind of got her in a tough spot, you know, because we really do want the phase in. And last night that was addressed. We had an 11-hour, I think it was like a, I forget. I was there for 11 hours last night. But anyway, at some point, Steve Rhodes brought it up, a legislator from Tasha, and he said he had concerns about the numbers and all that. And maybe that's the truth, but I really think it's a good thing for the taxpayers just to have time to either prepare if their taxes are going up or possibly fix any errors that might be there. So again, I'm totally in favor of the phase, and we are at the, at the mercy of Nicolella to call it. So I also urge people that, you know, if this is something that you believe in, you know, you might want to reach out to our presiding officer, and his information is on our Nassau County website. Because it's an important thing for many families to be aware of. You know, my district, Seacliff, actually, the village of Seacliff is getting hit the hardest through this assessment, which is another reason why reassessment or reevaluation, which is another reason why I've been very concerned about it. I have the most number of homes going up by $5,000 a year. And that's a lot, you know, it's a lot. So, and some of the numbers, honestly, I still think they're going to be corrected by ARC. So we definitely need that time to get everything correct. And I have to think eventually he's going to vote for it, but he's just being a little difficult right now.
I understand what you're saying. Let's keep in mind this was created by the previous administration, in my opinion, a lot of it. From the Mangano era. And, you know, let's face it. If you underpaid, you have to come to the table now. If you overpaid, you're going to get a bit of a break. You know, it's like it's a seesaw. It's a seesaw effect right now. And this was, again, created by mismanagement, in my opinion, from the previous administration. So, you know, I get what Nicolello's trying to do here, but really, you know, we have seen this too many times. You know, it's one versus the other here. It's the attack and everything else on the county exec. And the county exec had no, she had no other choice. She had no other choice here. You could sweep this under the rug again for a couple of years, but guess what? It would implode eventually. And she took the reins, and I think she did it the right way. Listen, not everybody's going to be happy in assessment. That's what it comes down to.
Well, you know what, Jay, I agree with you. Something had to be done. I am not satisfied that the role is 100% where it should be. I don't think we ever get to 100%. You know, they have record number of people grieving their taxes this year. But you know what, that's a good thing, because maybe we're on our way to getting the role much more accurate. You know, I personally would kind of like it to have gone a little bit slower as far as just getting the role accurate before we implemented anything. Like we talked about this before, you know, I'm in favor of the assessment, but I wasn't happy with the rollout of it. And I'm not 100% convinced that the role is correct. Like if it was 100% correct, like you're saying, then that's great. You know, that's really what it should be, fair and equal and all that. But, I don't think we're quite there yet. So I talked to Laura about it in the past. You know, I was kind of hoping that we could slow it down a little bit before we went 100%, but this is how we did it. And, again, that's another reason why this phase in is so important, just to give people time to either grieve their taxes or, you know, prepare for anything. And some people say, oh, well, my taxes are going down, I want it now. And I understand that too. But that wouldn't have happened had we not done the reevaluation. So you have to kind of give us a little time to make sure it's all correct.
No question about it. Delia DeRica went with us, Legislator 11th District. Two more quick ones, Delia. One, the school buses. School's open,
I'm
everything else.
I'm school bus right now.
There you go.
Yeah.
The governor signed into law last month, you know, allows these districts now to install these cameras to catch drivers who illegally pass these buses that have the red stoplights flashing. I know that you could be fined. I think it's $250 and $400, possible jail sentence up to 30 days. For a first conviction for illegally passing a stopped school bus, and that's 5 points on your license too. Is that in effect? Is that fully in effect now, those fines?
It isn't fully in effect. And you know, I think it's one of the most important pieces of legislation we can have. You know, it's precious cargo on those school buses, and people are always in such a rush and thinking about themselves. And you know, not only would that ruin the child's life and the child's family's life, but think of how you would feel as a driver, if God forbid you ever hit a kid, you know, getting in or out of a school bus. It could ruin everyone's life. So I applaud everyone for doing it. And I think it's, you know, we have technology that, you know, I think can really make things a lot better. So I'm happy to see it go through.
The last one is, you know, one of my favorite topics with you, and that's this this American Water saga continuing. I don't see a lot going on of late. I know there's investigations. I think everybody's doing an investigation except Inspector Clouseau, but we'll check on that one later. But in essence, I haven't heard anything from the state Attorney General, Letitia James. I haven't heard anything from various officials in Albany, the Chuck Levines and Ed Roz and Mike Montesanos of this world. You know, it kind of just keeps going and going and going until the next fiasco. You have many in your district. Can you tell us anything new as far as what's going on? I mean, listen, the ultimate takeover, the ultimate takeover is what should happen. And that's right. Just throw everybody into Jericho for crying out loud. But I mean, what is happening, if anything, at this point?
Okay. So one thing that's happening is there's a feasibility study that's going on. That's going to be the RFPs going out, through the Village of Sequest. Senator Marcelino got $80,000, and now the new Senator Jim Gorin got an additional $80,000, which the village feels is sufficient to do a feasibility study where they're going to see what's the best option for the village, but also they're going to basically assess their assets in the Sequest Water District, because one way or another, someone's going to have to either purchase it or, we're going to have to figure out what to do with that. There's another piece of legislation that Jim Gorin submitted, which passed the Senate, which would remove the taxes from American Water. And what it would do is it would be those taxes. The whole thing started when, like, the building got raised, and there was a whole gap into how many property taxes that utility was contributing at that point. Then it went down quite a lot. So they had to make up the difference. And the way they do that with the PSC, which who I love, had to, distribute that money that was taken in by LIPA to the other utilities. And they did a good job with all the other utilities except American Water, that all messed up. So that the 4,500 residents in Sequest took the brunt rather than having all 55,000 of Nassau County American Water customers. So anyway, so this is what's strange. It passed the Senate, this bill, but it did not pass the Assembly. And I'm not sure why. I hear it's going to be taken up again in January, which is great, but I really would love to see that get passed, because that would really help these people now. And the final thing is I think it's March 23rd or something. I don't have my notes in front of me. The PSC is going to rehear how the taxes are distributed. So if this is done like all the other utilities, people's water bill would have gone up on an average of $19 a year, and no one would have complained about it. But I have constituents that are paying $1,000 a month for water. Some other ones are paying, $300 a month. Others, $120 a month. And it's not based so much on usage, so there's nothing you can do. Most of it, I forget the exact percentage, again, I don't have it in front of me, but most of it is taxes. So no matter what you do, if you shut off your sprinkler system and everything else, your bill is still going to be very high, and it's just not fair. I would love to see it become public water, but it's going to take a lot, because American Water, I had the president in my office about a month ago, they're not going to give that up too easily. They're going to fight it. And it would have to be condemnation, which, like you said, I haven't heard a word from any of these investigations. I mean, if they could really show that all the, possible wrongdoings that American Water is doing, maybe that would help with that condemnation, but nothing is coming out from, but they do work that way too, though, the Attorney General. You don't hear anything from them, and then all of a sudden, one day, you're going to get a whole bunch of indictments.
Yeah, so. It's a shame. It really is. Big topic and very little on it. Very disappointing
I think the things are moving a little bit, just so you know, at least for some relief for these people. And I'm somewhat optimistic, cautiously optimistic, that we'll get their bills down. Not as well as I'd like to see them, but a little bit more reasonable, hopefully in the next 6 months. That's my hope.
We will keep an eye on things. We can't thank you enough. Delia Durigan-Witten does a fantastic job in the 11th District as far as a Nassau County legislator. We'll talk soon. We'll talk down the road. We'll keep an eye on some of these things. Very important stuff.
Absolutely.
Thanks again for a couple
of
minutes.
Have a great day.